There's been mud on my soul. There's been anger inside me. There's still unforgiven deeds that now it's time to free. I've been trapped inside so long. Don't remember how to live. How much of life has passed me by as I slept inside my dreams. Oh yes, sip the waters too. Let them wash all over you.
Of the wounded. When the fire rages in the heart, only the jeweler knows the value of the jewel, not the one who lets it go. In pain, I wander from door to door, but could not find a doctor, says Meera. Hearken, my master. Meera's pain will subside when Shyam comes as the doctor. The divine love is intense. The plight, the agony is unbearable. No therapy and or no pathy of this world alleviates it. The pain is ever increasing, but it is such a sweet pain, but it is such a sweet love. It surpasses all the loves of this world, the love divine. Only the wounded understands the pain of the wound. Only the jeweler knows the value of the jewel. The saint is calling out to her beloved, Hearken, come, listen to me, come and relieve me. Love passes through so many stages, starting with just infatuation, obsession, and so on. And the result is death. To become one with the beloved, the highest form of sacrifice is to lay down one's life for the beloved. The ultimate sacrifice is complete effacement. Spirituality is summed up in just two words. One is emptying oneself, and second is effacing oneself. You empty yourself totally, and second, you erase yourself, erasing the I. So it's a twin process of emptying, resulting into complete effacement. You wipe out your ego. It's a path of courage. It's a path of wisdom. It's a path of sacrifice. It's a path of perpetual suffering. You suffer, and yet The suffering is sweet. The suffering is beautiful. Worldly soul cannot understand this divine love. The arrow is so intense. The arrow has penetrated the heart. And the blood is coming out. The wound is unhealing, non-healing. One story is described, and Baba mentions that story many times. That story is the story of Savitri and Satyavan. The entire work of Sri Aurobindo is on Savitri. Volumes and volumes. In fact, that is the greatest work ever on Savitri, for anyone. Till the end of his life, he kept on finding new dimensions to Savitri. This is mentioned in Mahabharata. When Pandavas were in exile, Sage Markandeya is telling them so many stories, and one of the stories is the story of Savitri and Satyavan. There's yet another story which is often mentioned, Nal and Damayanti. These are the two stories Baba often he refers, just a passing remark. Baba doesn't go into details of these things, but taking into consideration that you already know it, he gives the examples, the parables, the stories, and tries to explain his point. Your devotion should be devotion of the Savitri, this Savitri. So, there is a king, he doesn't have any issues, does lot of tapasya as usual, ultimately gets a child, but the child is female child. But still the father is happy and the child grows up. She is very beautiful, also intellectual. So as usual, the search for the groom begins. But then, nobody dares to come forward. She is so intelligent. So father says, you only go and find your own groom. So she goes out, and then she finds out one poor person, but he is very good looking, intellectual and righteous. His name is Satyavan. Satyavan's father has lost the kingdom and Satyavan's father is blind. They are staying in exile or something like that. So she says that I want to marry this person. Father agrees. But then, second opinion from Narad, who is a mischief maker, mischief monger. So Narada says, don't do that. Because this Satyavan, if you marry your daughter to, he has just 1 year. After 1 year, he is going to die. Your daughter will become widow. So better don't do that. But Savitri is not at all ready. She is adamant. She is firm on her claim to marry Satyavan. So ultimately, her father and Narad has to concede. So they are married, living happy life. And then one day, Satyavan is going to the forest to cut woods, and she knows that this is the day. And he's chopping woods. And she knows that now something is going to happen. And suddenly Satyavan gets unwell. He falls down. She knows what is going to happen. And he just closes the eye. And a black shadow comes from the other side. With a noose in his hand. That is God of death, Yama. He takes out his soul. And starts walking towards the west. South side. South. But Savitri is following him. Yama sees why this lady is coming, and this, since Satyavan is so virtuous, that's why boss himself has come, otherwise he would have sent his employees. But in rare cases, the head has to come. So But the strange thing is that this Savitri is following that Yama. He says, what are you coming? Your husband is dead. You should go back. Let me do my work. Don't interfere in my business. She says, no. A wife's position is always with her husband, and I must accompany till I get my husband back. He explains her, but she doesn't listen. She just follows him, and she starts praising Yama in between. She tells stories of wisdom in between. He again and again explains her, I'm very happy with you, with your stories and with your wisdom and with your intellectual, but you can ask me any boon, but except one. I can give you anything, I'm very happy with you, any benediction you want, but except your husband's life. Then gradually she starts asking one boon after another. She says, okay, give back my father-in-law's kingdom. He says, okay, tathastu, be it so. Again he says, no, go. He says, no. Again he says, okay, you ask anything but accept one boon, your husband's life. She says, okay, give vision to my father-in-law. He says, okay, be it so, second boon. Again he says, now you go. She says, no. He says, go. He says, no. He says, go. She says, no. Okay, he says, ask third boon and fourth boon. She says, okay, give children to my father, because her father had only one daughter. She says, give father children to my father and give children to me. He says, okay, be it so. Then he follows her. She says, go now. He says, how can I go? You have given boon. Yes, he said, I have given boon. Let's now go. Let me do my work. So you said that you give children to my father. Okay, he said. But you also said that give children to me. And my husband's life is with you. And I am devoted. So how can I have children without my husband's life? The Yamraj is strict. He is then happy. He says, okay, take your husband and go. That's an interesting story. So there are five aspects of this story. First, get back the kingdom. First boon is, she says that, give my father-in-law's kingdom back. So when God comes, He gives you His kingdom, your lost kingdom back. Satyavan's father had lost the kingdom. He gets his kingdom back. We children have lost our kingdom. And when God comes, He gives that kingdom back. We are here to reclaim our kingdom from Father. We are here to reclaim our inheritance from the Father. So you get the boon, you get the benediction, you get the blessing of that kingdom back. So first is kingdom. The second is the father-in-law gets the vision back. So here everybody, we all have become spiritually blind. So when God comes, He gives us the divine vision, the spiritual vision, Divya Drishti. We can't see the physical eyes we have, but the third eye, the spiritual eye, the divine eye, the eye of wisdom, the eye of Pragya, Ritambara, Chakshu, has been closed. So God comes and opens and gives vision so that you can see things as they are. The third, her father gets children, means you also bring fortune to other souls of the world. You also bring fortune to other souls of the world. When you become gods, when you follow Him like Savitri, just as Savitri is following that Yamraja. She is so adamant. She is so unflappable. She is so resolute. She doesn't want to turn back. No matter how hard God of Death is trying to convince her, she is inconvincible. And the fourth, she gets her husband back. Shiva is the husband of husbands. You should follow Him just as Savitri has followed her husband. So, she was not listening to anyone. She just wanted her husband back. So that's the fourth aspect of the story. You follow. Keep on following him till you get him back. Don't stop. There are many others to convince you to stop this journey, to stop this path. But you know that when you are in the truth, you are unstoppable. Nothing can stop you. Porsche with no brake. I am unstoppable. So that is the fourth aspect of the story, that she is following him vehemently and ultimately she gets him back. There's yet another aspect of the story, the fifth aspect. She is following in the footstep of Yama. So you follow in the footstep of Brahma, listening to Shiva. That is the fifth aspect of the story. You keep on following the footstep of Brahma. There are so many temptations, there are so many other things in the world. But Savitri is not concerned with all of that. She is just following. And as if somebody is dictating from inside, even though she knew that her husband is going to die, and yet, she wanted him back. And with her utter devotion, with her utter commitment, she gets her husband back. So that's a story, an interesting story. All the stories which are mentioned in scriptures, Baba says they all have risen from this time. Everything has their birth in confluence age. It is your memorial. You are that Savitri. And you have to follow. I am that Satyavan. The story of Savitri following Satyavan. This is being almost every woman hears this story in India. And that's why the examples of Sita, Savitri, Gargi, Maitri have been given. They indicate the ideal womanhood. They indicate the ideal wifehood. They indicate the chastity of a woman. And how a woman can become powerful with that power of chastity. The example of Anusuya, the example of so many other ladies. So all of them, they just tell one thing, that purity has got huge power, but it should be unleaked purity. If the purity keeps leaking out, the power dwindles down. So let the purity remains unshaken, undivided, uninterrupted, unpunctured. Continuous, undivided, perennial purity. When such power of purity is within you, your words become powerful. Just as Murli Baba said, when you speak, your words should be great saying, Mahavakya, not just sayings. They should not be ordinary. They should become powerful. And yesterday we were discussing words, they depend on emotions, your feelings. Your emotions and your feelings depend on gyan you have, the knowledge that you have within you. And your knowledge depends on yoga, and yoga depends on your love of purity, on your love of God. And your love of God depends upon the purity which is within you, and your purity depends upon soul conscious stage. So the more soul conscious you become, you start becoming purer and purer. That's the first and the last chapter of this university. The first and the last chapter. What is that? Soul consciousness. The class starts with who you are, and the class ends with what sort of soul you are. A student complains that my home has become a university. His friends ask, why? He says, everybody gives lecture there. From morning till night, everybody is just giving me lecture. So my home itself has become a University. Here also it is like that. This chapter everybody teaches. That's another thing whether one follows or not. But when it comes to teaching, one is so firm and the group is in front of you and you just tell them forcefully that you are soul and not body and you must become soul conscious. So the story of Savitri and Satyavan is the story of soul following the Supreme Soul. The story of Savitri and Satyavan is following in the footstep of Brahma. The story of Savitri is the story of reclaiming the kingdom back. The story of Savitri is the story of restoring the eyesight. The story of Savitri is making fortunes of others. The story of Savitri is the story of courage, of wisdom. It's also the story of intelligence. She is extremely intelligent. She tricked even that Yamraj, who is said to be, otherwise he is unrelenting. He is very, very firm. She fooled in one way. But then he was also happy. There's yet another story of Nachiketa and Yamraj. Where Nachiketa is following Yamraj. Just like Savitri. But Nachiketa doesn't. He's a child. His inquiry is the inquiry of the self. Who I am? Who I am? Who I am? That's even more powerful. This is for her husband. But Nachiketa is not following Yamraj. For any other thing. There's an intense debate. So many stories are there. The stories are there to explain you. To make the concept clear. To make the subject entertaining. Otherwise knowledge is nirakar, abstract, amurt. How can you understand it? It's very tough to understand. Yes, when you are given stories, this person and that person, it becomes little easier for the intellect to understand. Om Shanti.